Well, welcome. This is Judith Conrad with the Judith Conrad radio program. It is so good to be back on the radio. I can't tell you. We were moving and packing boxes and doing a radio program is not conducive to radio. So I chose to take a hiatus and I'm back and I'm so excited to be back. And I am being joined today by Kathy Wells, and we're going to be doing interviews with each other. And of course, if you want to jump in and participate, that's fine too. We'll just see how this goes. So welcome, Kathy.
Hi, Judith. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I'm ecstatic to be back on the radio.
Yeah. You can feel the energy exploding off of you.
I know. Yeah, that's interesting. You know, I just couldn't even consider it before. But I always knew I have the option and choice. As soon as the 3rd of January came, then I could come back on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're just kind of counting down the days, down the minutes.
You bet.
Yeah.
Well, would you explain a little bit about what we're going to be doing today so that the audience can engage in this process of one-to-one interviewing and meeting to find out more about the other person?
Well, let me frame this just a little bit to start with is – you know, one-to-one conversations are very much an integral part and if not the kind of keystone, centerstone for networking.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a new landscape of networking now.
Really?
It's no longer where you go to a networking event or and hand out your business cards or just kind of glad hand and so on and so forth and just show up. It really is a much more proactive process where you are the driver. And when you go to an event, figure out who do you want to meet? Or if you don't know who you want to meet, hook up with somebody that you know that is a center of influence in your community mm-hmm. and ask them, who do you need to know? And so it is a much more proactive process of getting to know the players that you want to play with. And so the interview process, once you've qualified somebody as somebody that you want to sit down and have a one-to-one conversation mm-hmm. with, then it is much more, for me personally, I do it differently.
Okay.
Because it's important to me because there are so many people out there now, that are really wonderful people. There's a lot of realtors. There's a lot of mortgage, bankers. There's a lot of, construction people. There's a lot of electricians. All of these industries are full of really wonderful people. You can't give business to everybody. So it's about being choiceful about who you choose to have as a power partner. And the first way to figure that out, other than having qualified them and spent some time talking to other people to find out who you need to know, is to sit down and then have a one-to-one conversation with people. Well, that one-to-one conversation to begin with is not about business. It really is about getting to know them as a human being first.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to have people in my inner circle, my power partner, and my power partner team that have like values, are highly integrity driven. When I see them call me on my cell phone, I want to answer that phone because I want to know what they're up to. They're up to great things in the world. They're service oriented. They're community servers. They are doing they're players in the shifting of the planet right now.
Right.
And so I have people in this community that I consider power partners, and I'm building more and more of those as I get to know people more and more, mm-hmm. but also outside of this community and nationally. And I go through the same process with people of making those connections through other people, qualifying them before I have that first conversation, making sure that I want to have that first conversation mm-hmm. with them. And then that first conversation is about them.
Mm-hmm. Not about you.
No. Uh-uh. I really, really try to position it so that it is much more about them to begin with because I want to get to know them. I want to be in the driver's seat and learn more about them so that I can determine whether I want to have the next conversation with them and the next conversation with them and the next conversation. It's a building process. That first one-to-one conversation with people is a little bit like when I was in the nonprofit arena, when somebody would write a check to a nonprofit organization for the first time, it was a test check.
Oh.
So that first conversation is really the beginning of a potential relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when you go to networking groups, they think, I'll do a one-to-one with you, and then you're done. No, that is just the beginning.
That kind of like I'm comparing it to the interview on the radio. That's why I wanted us to do it on the radio instead of meeting privately, because you and I have nothing to hide or anything like that.
Right.
And so when I made that shift into interviewing people and picking a theme, and we would talk about that theme or whatever, it was about them. Mm-hmm. I wanted to know about them and not so much about their business. And as soon as business came up, it's like there was like a thud.
Right.
Yeah, there was, because, you know, my program is primarily spiritual based.
Mm-hmm.
And that means I want to know who that person is, what their, like you said, what their values are, and go from there.
Right. Well, see, for me, business is much more than a way to make a living.
Yes.
It's a way to make an impact. And so the power partners that I choose to do business with feel the same way.
Yeah.
That their business is a vehicle for them to serve.
It is. Yes.
And no matter what it is you do, you can serve your community through any business that you choose to engage in. So that's why I want to get to know the person. I want to know that person in terms of what inspires them.
Well, you know what inspires me. It's pretty clear.
Yeah. But see, the real gift in an interview is to continue to ask questions that unpack that inspiration
right.
for people. In our culture, with what's going on right now, we are very much focused on the trauma, the tragedy, the scarcity of the world that we're living in right now. Things are falling apart. This is the greatest time to be alive, because this is when extraordinary happens.
Yes.
This is when possibilities are beyond kind of limits of what we have previously thought to exist.
I know.
And so I think this is an extraordinary time to be having those kinds of conversations with people about things that matter to them most, and what inspires them. And then that can, you pull all of that forward into how that might work out in terms of a business relationship.
That was my question. Now, once you've had the first interview, the one-to-one, and then you move on to, you've had a second interview, and then you decide you want to carry it to the next step, to the third interview.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is this the time then you will decide whether, and they will decide whether they want to have a business relationship instead of a personal relationship?
You know, it takes many different forms.
Yes.
I mean, you've only known me for a few months, but what you have observed of me is, I obviously my company right now is Networking Power.
Yes.
So I have an opportunity to do seminars and work with people.
Yes.
I have an opportunity to go to a lot of networking events. In the first 3 months that I was in this community, I did 35 networking events and did 54 one-to-one conversations.
Wow.
And that was a way for me to sift and sort. As I observed people at networking events, as I did one-to-one conversation with them to see who showed up at my seminars, because those were people that were serious in learning how to really network.
Yes.
Because it's a different day in networking.
Yes.
And so I'm looking for people who are continuous learners. And if they want to hang out with other continuous learners, I mean, I have people come to my seminars that have said to me repeatedly, I thought I knew how to network. I thought I was really good at it, and you have blown me out of the water. And I love those kinds of people that are still learning.
Right.
They haven't arrived, although they thought that they were really great at networking. They're still open to the possibility that they have more to learn.
Well, I noticed going to many of these networking meetings, it's a party.
Yes.
Especially the ones in the evening. There are a couple glasses of wine. And business is out the window. And they're talking football. They're talking, which is good, you know. And but they're hanging out with the same friends. They're not seeking out new people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the integral parts, I think, of doing business is how many new people can I meet, and how many of the former acquaintances can I deepen their relationship.
Right. And a couple things that I'm thinking about here is, you know me, when I go to a networking event, the question I wake up with in the morning is, who will I meet today that will change my life? Now, how many of your listeners wake up with that question every morning that when they step out in the world, who are they going to meet today that's going to change their life? That reframes the day.
It does.
In such a different way. And so when I go to a networking event, yes, I want to see my friends. I want to see the people that I have grown to really cherish their my friendships with them and so on and so forth. And I also want to say, who else do I need to know in this room?
Yeah.
So a lot of my relationships are built on understanding that we want to accomplish something together in our community, no matter how we define that, whether it's the Eugene Springfield area, whether it's the Pacific Northwest, whether it's nationally or whether it's internationally. I mean, one of the people that I coach right now is a two-time Olympian, and her mission in life, her destiny is about global peace. So, you know, my talking to her and coaching her about networking, this is a woman who has 30 years of meeting extraordinary people, Deepak Chopra and the Dalai Lama and so on and so forth. So, and yet she needs to be very choiceful about who she will pick for her power partners and the team that she galvanizes in order to have the greatest leverage to tip us in that direction. And she gets that, the importance of that.
Well, and I'm just referring to my audience right now because the actual station, BBS Radio, has a plethora of wonderful teachers. I mean, you can start from noon on and go all the way through 10 o'clock, I think it is. And I'm sure that those listeners who are either on the archives or are listening live right now today are very choiceful of who they select, because you're looking at an hour of your time.
Right.
And some of them kind of pick and choose which ones they will and which day that they're going to listen to them. So it's, our audience has maybe not so much business oriented and networking. I always like to grab, you know, the ones that I know that are listening out there. They're listening for, they're doing it for a different purpose other than business. They're looking for that key of the deeper relationship.
Exactly. And so let's expand this just a little bit.
Okay.
Cause I was talking with a friend of mine over the weekend. You know, networking is not just business.
I know.
Networking is personal. And so, in the year 2011, it was about 10 years ago. I went backpacking for the first time with National Outdoor Leadership School in the summer of 2000. I met a woman on that trip, who was from Indianapolis, and, we didn't get to know each other that well on that trip. But the next year we did a backpacking trip together with two other women from that Knowles trip, and we tented together. And for 2 weeks, I peppered her every day with questions about who she was. I was fascinated by her. I just kept asking more and more questions. This was, and she was not used to this. Okay. CPA type, you know, so on and so forth. But we developed such a strong relationship. When I got back from that backpacking trip, I was diagnosed with cancer. And I was debilitated for about 3-4 months. And she lived in Indianapolis. I lived in Montana. I called her up after that, after my diagnosis, just to talk to her. And she said, well, tell me about what's going to happen with the process. Well, I had to go through radiation, so on and so forth. But the upshot was, because of my immense curiosity and my asking her about what mattered to her most in her life on that backpacking trip and wanting to know what inspired her and so on and so forth, she came out and spent 3 weeks with me while I went through treatment. And I was raising a 10-year-old son at the time. And I was pretty much bedridden.
Yeah.
So that was networking at its finest.
You bet.
You know, so this isn't just about business.
I know. That's why I wanted to point that out to the audience.
Yeah.
That, you know, we are both businesswomen. Kathy Wells and myself, Judith Conrad, by the way, if you just tuned in, I've been on hiatus for a bit. Now I'm back. We're talking about networking and going deeper into conversations and finding out what really makes people tick, what makes them get up in the morning, what inspires them. It is a whole different ball game, whatever it is, with friendship. And when you go to the supermarket and someone says something to you, I'd like to have you just turn around and acknowledge that person. I want you to just say, you know, look at them full on and just say thank you for that comment or whatever. It's, you know, you never know who that person is and the connections that they have. It's about establishing, okay, I'm available for conversation. I'm available for deepening relationships. I don't care who, you know, I do care who, mm-hmm. you know, I, not everyone do I want to get in this deep conversation. It's right. probably not going anyplace. However, you never know.
Yeah.
Who do
you
they know?
You don't ever know, but you, when you are focused and intentional
mm-hmm.
about the relationships that you create, and we've talked about this.
Yes.
I have a list of qualities and characteristics in the people that I want to partner with.
Wish I could find mine that I did, but it's packed in a box yeah. someplace.
Yeah. But when you have that in your filter.
Yeah.
When you enter a room, when you meet somebody at the market, like you said, so on yes. and so forth, you're constantly sifting and sorting mm-hmm. with those qualities and characteristics for those people to percolate up
right.
and meet you.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to expand a little bit more, we've gone from business to personal relationships. Now let's go to creating community.
Yes.
You know, when you and I first met, it was the second networking event that I had been to mm-hmm. in the Eugene area. And I was very clear personally that part of my networking was not just about business, was not just about creating friendships, but it was about building a community for myself.
Right.
Because I had just moved here. I knew one person.
Yeah.
and I come from a very strong background in terms of nonprofit work and spiritual work. And my best friend is a practicing shaman. So I had very clear intentions about the kind of community that I want to create
right.
in this new home that I found myself in. And so my interviews are also about who is going to be part of that community for me.
Yes.
You know? And so that takes it to another whole level.
It
now,
does.
I have been very fortunate in my lifetime. And I think partly because of my intention mm-hmm. and my focus. Generally, people that I do business with end up being part of my community
uh-huh.
and my friends.
Yes.
Because that's important to me. I want to have deep, meaningful relationships that also are about having fun
mm-hmm.
and at the same time about being of service.
Yes.
And I don't have time for the stuff that doesn't matter.
Right.
You know, and so again, business, friendships, community.
Right.
And when you do one-to-one conversations, I want to find out what inspires people.
There you go.
Yeah.
Are we ready?
I think we are.
We're ready.
I think we are.
All right.
So let's just set this up a little bit.
Okay.
Again. Is in one-to-one conversations, you know, people love to talk about their families, their vocation or their occupation, depending on, you know, whether that's where their inspiration lies or not, what they love to do for recreation, like I'm a backpacker.
Mm-hmm.
It's my bliss. And then what do they stand for?
Mm.
You know, who are they in the world? Are they an influencer? Are they a bridge to the transformation of our planet? You know, who are they? What's their message? And are they clear and conscious about why they are here right now? All of those kinds of questions. Exactly.
Yes.
So let's assume, and one more other thing too, is more and more, because I've done so many interviews
right.
over so long period of time, is that I have a tendency to just kind of jump in there, but I'm constantly looking for their eyes to dance.
Uh-huh.
So it's looking for the threads of inspiration. And, you know, when you see that, people light up.
They do.
And that's what I want to know about people.
Mm-hmm.
When they're in that place of being inspired, when they have a story to tell, that they're on fire, those are the moments of magic. And that talks to the spirit and soul mm-hmm. of that person.
Right.
In a way that for me, it matters.
Now, we had our very first conversation on the telephone.
We did.
We couldn't see my eyes dancing, but you could hear my voice.
I could hear your voice, and I could feel your energy.
Mm-hmm.
There were several moments in the course of that conversation that we had over the phone. I think in a very short period of time, we got to have an intimate conversation mm-hmm. that mattered to both of us.
Yes.
And you know when that shows up.
Exactly. And whenever I'm doing an interview with someone, I can tell when it's really generating energy out there in the community. Mm-hmm. I can tell when there's a reciprocity between the guest and myself. And then I get another guest that comes in maybe and they just kind of dampen the whole thing. Yeah, right, I've had that happen. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So I pay attention to who brings energy to the party and who takes energy from the party.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So that's a really important thing to remember.
It is. It is indeed.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to be interviewing you second. You're going to interview me first. I had called and I said, well, let's do a one-on-one. We did one on the telephone. I'd like to do it in person. And I just said, let's do it on the radio.
And I said, okay.
All right.
So now I want the listeners to understand too that, Judith and I know each other a little bit. I may ask her a few questions that I probably already know the answers to, but it's a little bit of a warm up, because you just don't start with the, so tell me about what inspires you most in your life. That's right. Not where you start. But the other thing too is, for me, usually my first one-to-ones last an hour, hour and a half.
Right.
Assuming that I've chosen a right person to have a one-to-one conversation with. And they go in all different directions.
Don't they though?
They go in all different directions. So let's just start out with, I know that you have moved to Eugene a few years ago.
Right.
And so tell me, let's just say with how long ago did you actually move to Eugene?
It was 3 years ago and 3 months. And we love it up here. Absolutely love it.
And why did you choose Eugene?
I have relatives here.
Okay.
And they had said when I left the Bay Area, why did you stop in Mount Shasta for 6 years? And they couldn't understand why I didn't come directly up here.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wasn't sure I wanted to be that close to the relatives.
Yeah.
In-depth conversations with some of them just didn't last too long, mm-hmm. So, but I dearly love them and I'm glad I did. To be with the relatives.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about the 6 years in Mount Shasta. Because you chose Mount Shasta for a reason.
Yes, I did.
And what was that reason?
Well, I had taken groups from the Bay Area up to Mount Shasta, and then I had some friends there, very intuitive, just so psychic. And they said, you know what? We don't understand why you're not moving up here, because we had decided, to move from the Bay Area. And so I said, okay, we're coming up this next weekend. And that was the end of October. And if we find something, we'll consider that. Well, sure enough, we found 3 or 4 houses, unheard of to find rental houses in Mount Shasta.
Mm-hmm.
And we mm-hmm. found 2 or 3 and we decided on one, went up to Castle Lake and both of us walked in different directions and we decided this is the one we're going to move into. And as soon as I got there, I knew we had made the right decision.
And how'd you know that?
Well, I was accepted immediately and I had already done a TV program. And so I found the local TV station. I said, can I do a TV program up there?
Mm-hmm.
I knew they didn't have a radio. Well, they did, but it was kind of a real small one.
Mm-hmm.
Had 2 mile range.
Yeah, that's pretty small. Yeah. Wow.
It was in the valley. And if you're on the top of the mountain, you ain't hearing that.
Right.
And they were so excited that I wanted to do a radio program. They put me on the board immediately as program director. Mm-hmm. And it just kind of kept going from there. And because I was a local person on the radio, on TV, everyone in town knew who I was.
Uh-huh.
3,300 people, that's not very big.
Right.
Yes. And that's why I felt good there. My husband didn't care for it. And that was one of the reasons also we moved.
Okay.
His health was not doing well.
Right. So speak to me a little bit about, when you enter an area new, like mm-hmm. Mount Shasta,
yes.
And then when you moved here, what is it for you that you sink into this space of I'm home?
Yes. What is it? It's just a knowing that everything you do synchronistically pans out. It just, when I got here, I hit the ground running for networking. I went to every organization, and I think I did maybe not so in same questions, but I went to them and I said, where is a good place to network? This is what my business is. Where should I go? And I didn't ask, you know, who should I meet, but I said, where should I go? I ended up with the Springfield Chamber of Commerce and with the greeters. I ended up with WBN, Women's Business Network. I ended up with Women's Resource Network and a couple others. And it's just like they accepted me so quickly, even though some of them didn't care about my spiritual work. Mm-hmm. They didn't care about the tarot cards. They didn't care about the channeling or the spiritual work that I do. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, that's it. You know, that's too bad. This is what I do. And then I dropped out doing that work for some reason. And it was kind of like spirit driven. All of a sudden I had the opportunity to go on with Cumulus and sell radio time for a station. I thought, gee, this would be so perfect. I can train people to do the radio and people will just jump on that. Well, the heart wasn't quite in it. I did it for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then when I had the opportunity to come back on BBS radio, it's again, I was home. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys at BBS radio are loves. Mm-hmm. They're just loves. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, for one thing, all of us, I think it's important for us to be conscious.
Yes.
Of when we enter that space. No matter where we're living,
mm-hmm.
or who we meet,
right?
When it, we just know we're home.
I know. I want to ask you, how do you know when you feel that you're home?
I think it's very similar to what you do. Uh-huh. Is you have an intuitive knowing.
Yes.
And that is very much how I operate.
Right.
I'm a very intuitive person.
Yes.
There are certain people that you know when you meet them almost instantaneously.
Right.
That you've known them lifetimes.
Yes.
And that you have come together again for a purpose.
Yes.
And I don't know how to translate for somebody who doesn't operate that way.
I know. And I can't imagine someone who doesn't.
Yeah, but some people, they don't have that knowing going
right,
on.
Right.
They have it in a different format.
Yeah.
But I think it somewhat translates the same way.
You just
have that feeling of peace
mm-hmm.
in your heart and in the center of your soul.
Yeah.
That says I'm home.
And when something happens, when you're in your home place, mm-hmm. people will show up to help you. Like this last, when we moved. Mm-hmm. This last 2-3 weeks, mm-hmm. I had people come and pick up boxes, pick up heavy furniture, help pack boxes because I somehow couldn't get anything in the boxes after a while. And we only moved 6 blocks, you know, you'd think.
Right.
But you still had to put it in boxes to get it.
Yeah.
To the new place.
Right.
And when my friends showed up, that made such a difference. I knew that mm-hmm. I would never have had that in the Bay Area, nor would I have had that in Mount Shasta.
Wow.
Even though I felt at home, but when I was done with it, the mountain was done with me.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm struck by as you're talking is just this intuitive knowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how powerful that is. And also the magnetism of who you are. Because when I first went to that event, it was a Women's Resource Network meeting
okay.
on the 18th of August.
Really?
It was the second event that I'd been
yeah.
to. And I didn't say much. I observed the
yeah.
room.
Yeah.
And what I was looking for was the people that I intuitively thought
mm-hmm.
were the centers of influence amongst the women in that room.
Mm-hmm.
And you were one of the people that I picked out.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you were the first person I really came up and introduced myself to as a new person to the area.
Right.
And And that you look like somebody I should get to know.
Right.
and my intuition was right.
You're right.
and so, you know, part of this is, I love the fact, one of the things I love about you is your consciousness, about your being a light being on this planet.
Yes.
Now, of course, that is one of the things that's important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that is check. Off of my list of qualities and characteristics.
Right.
Okay. So, because I want people to understand as we're having this conversation, there's a part of me that's kind of going through my checklist.
Mm-hmm.
As you tell stories about yourself,
mm-hmm.
And you know, you and I are already power partners.
Yes.
So, we can talk about it like this. But for people who are new to this, and having conversations for the first time, if you're really clear about the qualities and characteristics of the people that you want to hang out with and mm-hmm. understand
yes.
who you hang out with is who you become.
Yes.
So it behooves you to be incredibly choiceful about that.
You know, I'm noticing that and I'm kind of going through some of the folks that I have been hanging around and actually the two people that had the most umbrage about the tarot cards and the spirituality and all of that, very Christian, I no longer associate with.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't notice them being so Christian anymore. No judgment whatsoever. But
Right.
It's just that, you know, that was their perception. And it did cause me to take a little break on that,
mm-hmm.
to look around and see, now what else, what other skills and talents do I have that I can be open to?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, and that's when this other opportunity with the radio station came in. And I'm at that place right now. I know in my heart of hearts that there's something else.
Yeah.
That wants to come in. And if I'm not available and said, this is the only thing I'm doing, then I'm going to miss that opportunity. And I intuitively know that it's huge.
And that's another thing I love about you.
Yes.
See, you're just revealing these parts of yourself, that for somebody like me, who is looking for somebody like you, you know,
yeah.
those things are important. So a couple things that you've said. One is to be available for what is still destined to show up.
Right. Isn't that exciting?
Wow. Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, and not everybody is available.
No.
For what it continues to show up because our lives are continually dynamic.
Yes.
But a lot of people think that they've arrived.
Not even close.
No. And we know that.
Yeah.
But my point here is, again, sifting and sorting mm-hmm. for the people, for me personally, and for you also, who still understand that as long as I'm breathing, I'm changing.
Yes.
New things are continuing to show up to inform and influence my impact on the planet or your impact on the planet. And so part of my list of qualities and characteristics is continuously never ending learning.
That's right.
And a spiritual openness to guidance and direction.
You know, I just cherish that part. When I can sit, excuse me, in the morning when I get up and I sit and I feel like I'm in this zone and I'm, then I, you know, maybe pose a question and then I'll pull a couple cards and many times I will share them here on the radio of what it means to me and I always write it in such a general way that it can be related to anyone
mm-hmm.
and how the question, whatever your question, it's relevant to what your life is about. And that's one of the things. In fact, I just wrote out when I was doing my, getting ready for my speech that one of my purposes is to help people awaken to their true calling and their truth. And so when I'm calling forth in my affirmations, those students who want to jumpstart their business, entrepreneurial, or just being a higher light on the planet. That's the one I'm looking for. Cause that's my, even though I can't find it right now, I remember. And I just know that these are the qualities of the folks that I want to teach because I'm a teacher. Mm-hmm. I've always taught. I was a foreign language teacher in high school and now I'm teaching the higher principles of spirituality or intuition, that natural knowing.
Right. And so let's play with that just a little
okay.
bit. Okay. I love this part. Just for the listeners, I want you to know at this point, I've completely gone off the questions that I've had listed out.
I know you did.
And it's because I follow the thread of inspiration right. about this conversation. And so what I wanted tag on to right now is that notion of being a teacher.
Yes.
Because my sense about you is that teaching is also a very dynamic relationship with people in such a form that you are, in fact, transformed in the process yes. of teaching at the same time.
Absolutely. That okay. is the ultimate for teaching. In fact, when I taught a class on vision boarding, I participate also. And one lady said, I've taught people how to do workshops. I have never seen someone participate in their own workshop. I said, if I didn't participate, I wouldn't have a sense of their movement in the process. And I wouldn't know when the process was finished. And time to move to the next phase of it. And so that's what, and the same with meditation. I go also when I'm teaching meditation, I go into meditation so I can monitor where they're at. If I'm sitting here just verbalizing and just physically looking at what your face is doing while you're doing, if I don't go up and in the same realms where you are to see where your fears are, what's coming up for you, mm-hmm. that makes me less of a instructor because I'm up there with you.
You're less powerful.
Yes, that's right.
When you're in participation right. with your students, mm-hmm. you are far more powerful.
When I'm in that mode, then I'm not better than you. I'm with you. And that's what I think what makes this so powerful is I'm with you in the meditation. Our teacher did that, the one who taught me. Mm-hmm. She was afraid we were going to get in trouble. And we did a couple times. You know, we got mm-hmm. into realms where we were, mm-hmm. And I can share one of them. But the very first time I went into this meditation and the other person was supposed to be monitoring and they were actually, I don't know what they were doing, but I got into a situation in a past lifetime mm-hmm. where I was in a cave. I was suffocating and I couldn't get out of there. And so I just got very frightened because the other person was not monitoring me
right.
and didn't go with in the process. And so the teacher had to come and help immediately jump into that realm and rescue me. Mm-hmm. And from that point on, because I'd had that experience, I said, I'll never, right. ever have any of my students get in a situation where I am not able to be right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's so important. As you're teaching, as they get more strength and they build up their meditation skills and their reading skills of mm-hmm. the tarot or whatever, then you can let them flex their muscles. They're learning. They're taking those baby steps.
Right.
But you don't just throw them into, you know, without right. being there.
Right. Well, I said earlier that my best friend is a practicing shaman.
Yes.
And in one of the sweat lodges that we did, this has been probably a couple of years ago now, we do a journey.
Yes.
In every sweat lodge. Well, I am even before she sets up the journey, I'm out. I'm gone. I'm already journeying.
Yeah.
And so this one journey, I left. And it was a very profound, life-altering journey. And I wasn't coming back.
Ooh.
And this woman who's my friend, her name is Diane. She's truly gifted. She knew I wasn't coming back.
Really?
She came after me.
Uh-huh.
and she knew exactly what to do. Now, the reason I say that is totally in line with what you're saying, right, is that I trusted her with my life.
Yes.
My spiritual life and my physical life.
Right.
And I knew that if I left and got into something along those lines, that I would be taken care of. Mm-hmm. That was an amazing gift.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what I love about this conversation is to unpack that for both of us.
Right.
So that creates a level of understanding about the world of spirituality
it
and
does.
The journeying, that a lot of people don't go to.
Right. They've never experienced.
Right.
And they are curious maybe. And a lot of people, that's why they go to Sedona. That's why they go to Machu Picchu.
Mm-hmm.
And I had an experience there also.
Mm-hmm.
This so-called movie star from Buenos Aires. And we were in this group.
Mm-hmm.
And we were all doing a meditation. And again, his wife and myself it's like spaceships all up above. And all of a sudden we were just, both of us, his wife and I, were in this spaceship just going up the mountains and over the mountains into the valleys. And then fortunately, Edwin, the guide, very spiritual individual, he could see what was going on, and he came right over and sat on my feet and on her feet,
mm-hmm,
and brought us back into our body, mm-hmm, because this guy was just a charlatan. He didn't know what he was doing. He didn't.
Right.
And of course, ultra sensitives that we were, his wife and myself, we thought he knew what he was doing, mm-hmm, and we should see it there. I didn't trust my intuition.
Right.
And from that point on, I never participated in any of his shenanigans.
Mm-hmm.
And I call him, and you know, there are charlatans out there,
right,
who want to be, and they know that there's big money in this.
Right.
There is absolutely a lot of money in that whole arena.
Right.
And that's not why I'm doing this. It's because it's that interaction with watching someone blossom.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to teach on the radio, and many times I will teach, some different small thing that is just safe.
Mm-hmm.
It's safe. I would never do a deep meditation here.
Right.
I don't know what condition you're in out there. If you've been drinking and it's 4 o'clock in the morning, afternoon, but you know, some people would, and they would get in trouble, and I wouldn't be able to help them.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And so the gift in those,
yes,
situations and experiences for you was to step onto the other side,
right,
of the participant's experience, to know that you wanted to be a different type of teacher.
Right.
That's very powerful.
It is. And as we're talking about it right now, I'm remembering,
mm-hmm,
all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important when you're doing these one-on-ones, is that you're asking for the deepest possible remembering.
Yes.
Because that's so important right now.
Yes. Well, obviously, we're able to get very quickly to the things that matter most to us in our lives. But, you know, not everybody who's listening to this is going to have that conversation, mm-hmm, like right off the bat.
Right.
But as long as you stay true to wanting to hear the story,
right,
of someone's life, not the woundology stories.
No.
But the stories when they have been on fire.
Yes.
When they have been most excited, when they have been most engaged, when they have, their eyes have been dancing, when life has been rich and full and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the stories you want to hear.
Right.
And so just the questioning, and showing up like a little kid listening to a story for the first time.
Right.
That immense curiosity and wanting to know the heart of someone, is such a gift. It's such a gift.
I know. And I'm noticing that in our conversation back and forth, you're sharing also.
Mm-hmm.
As I share, then it's just, it opens the other person up to sharing their experiences. So in a way, it doesn't make any difference who's the initiator of the interview process, or does it?
Well, of course, it does.
Okay.
It does. Because part of my reason for sharing was to let you know I've been there.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you know I've been there, then there's more you can unpack with me.
That's right.
Exactly. If you don't know I've been there, then you're not probably going to enter that next phase of unpacking.
No, I probably wouldn't.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So that is part of my reason for sharing. Mm-hmm. And it developed, and for you and I, it's much easier, but just as a way of coaching people, is that you share enough so that somebody knows you've been there.
Right.
But that's all. You just share enough so that they know that you've been there, that you understand, in a way that a lot of other people might not, what they're talking about, what their experience has been. And then you stop and you go back to asking them more about, their life. Now, part of this too is when people begin to realize that you're really showing up.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and you really want to know, when you start to unpack that first story, and you show up and you share a story that says, I know that experience. Mm-hmm. I've walked that experience myself. Tell me another one. You know, it is really through the stories of our lives, we reveal what's most important to us.
Isn't that the truth? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it is the wounded story that has impacted us so much. And out of that, if someone can come up out of that, I don't know how to describe it. It's just such a lesson. If you can take it as a lesson.
The difference is that our culture has been very well trained in heading down the path of unpacking wounds.
Yes.
And what you focus on grows.
Yes.
So if that's the kind of conversation that you want to have, I don't want to be talking with you.
I don't think so either.
But the dark night of the soul,
yes,
the wounds of our lives, the traumas, the tragedies that show up, all have an amazing, extraordinary gift embedded in them. So it is to touch those, to understand the experience of that in a depth that a lot of people don't want to go sometimes. And at the same time, what was the lesson that you got from that? What was the gift that you got from that? Always go to that space.
Yes.
Because that is the more important thing. We all have shit that shows up.
I know. And like you said, it's the gift of, there's a pony in there someplace.
There's always a pony.
I know.
There's always a pony. So check. That's another one of the list of qualities and characteristics that I'm looking for is life shows up for people.
Right.
Shit happens.
Yes.
Trauma, tragedy, all kinds of really awful things can happen to people.
Right.
But what do they do with it?
Yes.
You know, how long do they ruminate in it? Is there a sense of forgiveness that's possible for them? Have they hit that point of understanding what real forgiveness is all about?
Yes.
You know, and that's a maturity and a level of experience and inward reflection. Those are the kinds of people that I want to be around. So you learn that by asking people about their own stories.
Right.
And there are a lot of people, you know, out there, if you happen to have, you haven't qualified them enough yet before you get in that conversation and they head down a wounded story, and you say, well, what was the lesson in that for you?
Yeah.
And you can see those people, their look comes across their face and they're like, I didn't get any lesson out of that.
End of conversation.
It is the end of a conversation for me. Because they're still on their journey. They just don't know it.
Right. Well, immediately when I told them my two stories, you know, they were less than delightful, and yet I really got that was important to share that because of what I'm doing as a teacher in the work that I do.
Right.
And it wasn't about the woundedness or anything like that. It was, okay, this is why I protect my babies.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right. And it also obviously tremendously informs and influences how you are and how you show up as a teacher.
Right.
That's an important thing to know.
I know. Yeah.
So
there you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that gives you the listeners, you know, some notion, some idea about, we've kind of We've been doing a little bit of an interview at the same time we've been processing the interview on the air.
That's it. I love that.
Yeah. And it's a powerful thing.
Well, we're not going to have much time for your interview. Maybe we can make that another time when you come back on the radio.
I'd love to.
Yeah. And so I kind of like to wrap it up. And any last questions you have for me? Because actually you're showing my listeners more at a deeper level who I am as the radio host and doing one of the things I love to do so much, plus the teaching. And actually you've shown that to me. But that is really where I need to be, because as I do that, I'm helping others awaken.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you and I have had this little conversation is that obviously we are in an extraordinary, I mean, it's just like, it's Twitter factor time, you know, in terms of where we are right now from a spiritual perspective.
Oh, yeah.
And you and I both, know consciously that we are bridges to what's to come.
That is.
And so it's important for people to hear that from you. It's important for people to hear from you how you came to this space.
Right.
Some of the stories that have impacted you the most and how it has informed and influenced who you are today. And how it will inform and influence who you are tomorrow. And the qualities and characteristics of who Judith Conrad is,
right?
You know, on this planet right now. And so this is just a microcosm of a conversation that people have had the honor and privilege to participate in, you know.
Over the airwaves. And the broadcasting waves, it's the higher vibration. I believe BBS Radio has broadcast with a very high vibration. Most of the people on the station have done their work and they're major leaders. Mentioning bridge, at the beginning, you know, my teacher told me, well, you're going to be a bridge. And I was really upset because I wanted to be the leader, you know, the muckety muck, whatever. And now I don't even think about that. Being the bridge is such an important factor for me because I get to help help people awaken so that they can be the leaders, which is, you know, that's a pretty awesome job.
Well, we all are leaders.
I know.
It's how we frame that
leadership. I know.
You know, and if we show up in the true sense of our greatest gifts, that's our leadership.
It is. Oh my gosh. It is. And when we are in our doing our right livelihood, our right passion, our mission, our vision, all of that, there's nothing else.
No. So the old model of leadership where there was one person leading the way is antiquated.
It is.
Because we have many points of light.
Yes.
Many, many, many points of light globally right now that are bringing the best of who they are spiritually to the table to shift the planet. And you and I are each are the part of the points of light.
I realize that. And, you know, one person shared with me, I wanted her to come on the radio and because we had this private conversation about her spirituality and her trusting her intuition. And she said, you know, I cannot because mine is very private. I said, sometimes I wish mine weren't. That's not my job. My job is to be out in the world, on the radio, in front of people, letting people know how you can use intuition. That is my role. And so it's a little riskier. However, it's more exciting.
I mean, people could see you, you know, you're like a beam of light right now because that's what juices you.
Yes, it does.
You know, and this woman is the woman that you talked about.
Love her.
Yeah, absolutely. And she shows up in a different way.
She does. Yeah.
You know, but she's still a bridge. She's still a point of light.
That's right.
She just does it a little differently.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left. I'd like to have you pass on your information and how they can come and play in your sandbox.
Well, people can get a hold of me at, email wise at KLWELLS, WELLS @networkingpower.net.
One more time.
K K-L Wells, W-E-L-L-S, at networkingpower.net. My phone number is 253-255-6837. Again, that's 253-255-6837. I'm also on Facebook, with Networking Power. And, we launched our blog today.
Yay!
which is, KL Wells. If you Google, KL Wells blog, it'll come up. And,
ooh, exciting.
It's very exciting. And there'll be, for me, it is about telling the stories of the people that I meet every day that change my life.
Excellent. Well, thank you for coming on the radio.
Thanks for having me.
And I'll come next time. Well, I'll do the interviewing.
Great.
All right. I'm going to close the program. I want to remind each and every one of you out there that who you are makes a difference. And I'll see you tomorrow night at 4 p.m.